الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها علمنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا الدعاء اللهم ألهمني في رشدي وأعذني من شر نفسي صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers, sisters, and all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it is a fadl and grace of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that this is the third discourse of Dil ki Dunya, the world of the heart. In our previous discourses, we stated that a human being is made up of two stages, of two parts. One is the external, the other is the internal. The external is made up of flesh, blood, bones. And the internal is made of the soul. The real human being is not the flesh, blood and the bones. It is the soul. It is that inside force within a human being. When Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala refers to spiritual upliftment in various places in the Quran Kareem, how to connect with Allah, how to bond with Allah, how to create an attachment with Almighty Allah, Allah refers to one word in the Quran Kareem, nafs. In the 30th juz of the Quran Kareem, in Surah Duhaha, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala takes an oath on seven things. The seventh is the nafs. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَدُحَاهَا, I take an oath on the sun and the brightness of the sun. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, I take an oath on the moon when it follows the sun. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا, I take an oath on the day and the brightness of the day. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَاهَا, I take an oath on the night and when it encompasses. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا, I take an oath on the skies and what is contained in the skies. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا تُحَاهَا, and I take an oath on the earth and what it covers and what it spreads. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, and I take an oath on the nafs and on the appropriateness of the nafs. And in explaining the appropriateness of the nafs, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has inspired the nafs, has taught the nafs what are its sins, what are its violations. And at the same time, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has taught the nafs how to exercise restraint wa taqwaha. That is where lies our test. Our test and our imtihan lies in that. And further, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives two results. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That person who purified his soul, cleansed his soul, he learned how to exercise restraint and control his nafs. Indeed, such a person is successful. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And that person who followed the prey of his nafs, he followed his nafs. Whatever his nafs asked for, he followed and fulfilled the desire of his nafs. Such a person is at a loss. There are two parts of a nafs. According to Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, there are two parts of the nafs. One is called Huququn Nafs. And the other one is called Huzuzun Nafs. Huququn Nafs refers to the rights of a nafs. Nafs also got the rights. In Bukhari Sharif, in the first volume, in Kitab al-Sawm, there's an incident of one sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a zahid sahabi. He used to engage himself in lots and lots of ibadat. He got married. Whole night he was engaged in ibadat, not paying attention to his wife. So his father, also a sahabi, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went up to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my son is married to a very, very prominent woman. Sometimes the father can't tell something to the son, so you tell somebody else influential to tell it and to advise the son. So Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala went to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I got my son Abdullah married to a prominent woman, but my daughter-in-law is complaining that he is engaged in ibadat whole night. He's not paying any attention to me. He fasts very, very often. At night he's engaged in ibadat. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found the opportune moment, and when he saw Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he told him in the most diplomatic way. He didn't say who said, but Nabiya Kareem told, I have heard that you fast continuously. I heard that you engage in ibadat whole night. He confessed and he said, yes, Ya Rasulallah. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told him, don't do like that. Inna li'aynika alayka haqqan. وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. In this narration, there's three things mentioned. Other narrations, there's other things also mentioned. Then Nabiya Kareem Salaam told him, your eyes also got a haqq, your nafs also got a haqq for you, and your wife also have a haqq upon you. Then Nabiya Kareem Salaam told him, warned him of the harms of exerting himself more than what he can bear. If you continue fasting, then hajamat lahu al-ain wa nafihat lahu al-nafs. This is a word, hadith that comes in Bukhari Sharif. You fast continuously, you're doing it out of the love for Allah, but must be within reason. It shouldn't happen that you cause damage and harm your body and your health. Fasting continuously over time, your eyes will become weak. And your nafs, nafihat lahu an-nafs, your nafs will become tired. From this hadith we understand that there's also haqq of the nafs and there's rights of the nafs. And the second is called huzuzun nafs, enjoyment of the nafs. The nafs, one is attracted to certain things and it wants fulfillment. Somebody got carnal desires, he's growing up, there's a biological change within himself, and he just wants to fulfill his nafs and his desire. That is where you put brakes on it. That is called huzuz of the nafs. You got a passion, you got a desire, you just want to go and satisfy yourself. Or, one person is extremely angry. And the only way to give vent to his nafs, and the only way for him to enjoy his nafs, to give some satisfaction in his nafs, to have an outburst of anger. Or for example, a person, he has disagreement with someone. And you hear somebody making ghibat and backbiting him. Here is a place for your nafs. I don't agree with that person, I don't like him, and here somebody is talking bad about him, so it actually vindicates my feeling about that person. So that is actually giving in to your nafs. That is called huzuzun nafs. And that is our biggest enemy. In islah, in tasawwuf, when we focus about focusing on reformation, we focus on huzuzun nafs. Don't give the nafs its pleasures. That is your biggest enemy. We have two enemies. One is the nafs and one is the shaitan. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned that inna a'da aduwika nafsuk allati bayna jambayk. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Your biggest enemy is not that outside enemy, the shaitan. Your biggest enemy is that which is within your own self, your own nafs. Shaitan is the external enemy. Your nafs is the internal enemy. If there's a thief outside the house, you can control. But if there's a thief inside the house, it becomes very, very difficult. After all, what misled shaitan? It wasn't another shaitan. It was the nafs of the shaitan that misled the shaitan. And therefore, the biggest enemy is our nafs. And if we want to grow in spirituality, we need to learn how to control the nafs. Control the nafs. And that is why Allama Busairi rahmatullah alayh, he so beautifully explained the different aspects of the nafs and how to control the nafs. I will mention few poems and few couplets before I proceed. Allama Busairi rahmatullah alayh speaks about the nafs, the harms of the nafs, and how to control the nafs, and he says, مَنْ لِي بِرَدِّ جِمَاحٍ مِّنْ غَوَايَتِهَا كَمَا يُرَدُّ جِمَاحُ الْخَيْلِ بِاللُّجَمِي فَلَا تُرِمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي كَسْرَ شَهْوَتِهَا إِنَّ الطَّعَامُ يُقَوِّي شَهْوَةَ النَّهِمِي والنفس كالطفل إن تهمله شب على حب الرضا وإن تفتمه ينفتم فاصرف هواها وحاذر أن توليه إن الهوى ما تولى يسم أو يسم وراعها وهي في الأعمال صائمة وإن هي استحلت المرعى فلا تسم كم حسنت لذة للمرء قاتلة من حيث لم يدري أن السم في الدسم وَخْشَدْ دَسَائِسَ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَمِنْ شَبِعٍ فَرُبَّ مُخْمَسَةٍ شَرٌّ مِنَ التُّخَمِ وَخَالِفِ النَّفْسَ وَالشَّيْطَانَ وَعْصِهِمَا وَإِنْهُمَا مَحَّذَاكَ النُّسْحَ فَاتَّهِمِي فَلَا تُطِعْ مِنْهُمَا خَصْمًا وَلَا حَكَمًا فَأَنْتَ تَعْرِفُ كَيْدَ الْخَصْمِ وَالْحَكَمِ أَنَّمَا بُسَيْرِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ identifies all the tricks of the nafs. And the first one, he complains. And he says, who is there to restrain my rebellious nafs? First characteristic of a nafs of the person is that it is rebellious. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ الْأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. The nafs is very, very rebellious. It wants to do its own things. It doesn't want to be under control. So Allama Busairi says that كَمَا يُرَدُّ جِمَاحُ الْخَيْلِ بِاللُّجَمِ. He likens the rebellious nafs to a wild horse that needs to be controlled through the reins. Our nafs also need to be controlled. Our nafs also need to be tied up, just like a wild horse is tied with the reins. He further mentions, he gives a prescription, فَلَا تُرِمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي كَسْرَ شَهْوَتِهَا إِنَّ الطَّعَامُ يُقَوِّي شَهْوَةَ النَّحِيمِ. And before explaining this, let me explain that nafs is such Sometimes you want to say to yourself, let me just have the last cigarette. Last one. After the miktobah, by chucking it out. Or let me pop the last drug. After this, I'll never take it. Let me just satisfy myself one more time. Or let me look at that woman one more time. Her outward appearance, her beauty. Let me just satisfy myself one more time. After that, wallah, I'm never going to do it. So with the Allama, this is the trick of the nafs. So Allama Busairi says that never feed your nafs with its shahwat. Whatever the nafs desires, then don't satisfy your nafs by giving into the nafs. And by way of example, he says, you know, there's a big eater, a person who just like to eat and eat and eat, and they don't stop to eat eating. He says that food, it only strengthens a big eater. The way to control a big eater is don't give him food. In the same way, the nafs also wants its food. It wants its pleasure. Don't give in to the nafs. وَالنَّفْسُكَ الطِّفْلُ إِن تُهْمِلُهُ شَبَّ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ الرَّهَىٰ وَإِن تُفْتِمُهُ يَنْفَتِمُ. The nafs, it is just like a breastfeeding child, that you're weaning the child from the breast. The child is addicted to the breast of the mother. And if when you take the child out from the breast of the mother, the child will cry, would want to go back on the breast of the mother. النَّفْسُكَ الطِّفْلُ إِن تُفْتِمُهُ يَنْفَتِمُ. When you keep the child away from the breast of the mother, now the child is going to eat healthy food. It won't confine itself only to the milk. But if you leave the child there, the child will never ever eat healthy foods. The same with the nafs. One of our akabir mentioned, our nafs, it just needs enjoyment. It's not specific what type of enjoyment. Give it the right type of enjoyment. You give it the wrong type of enjoyment, then it will be harmful to the nafs. فَصْرِفْ هَوَاهَا وَحَاذِرْ أَن تُوَلِّيَهُ إِنَّ الْهَوَى مَا تَوَلَّى يُسِنِي أَوْ يَسِنِي. Turn your nafs away and never let the nafs overpower you. It's in our control. We can do it. Allah never made us, Allah never obligates something on us that we cannot do. We have the power to control our nafs. And then he warns, إِنَّ الْهَوَى مَا تَوَلَّى. You know, when your nafs overpowers, then two things are going to happen. Yusini or yasini. It's either going to kill you. It's going to kill your ruhaniyat. It's going to kill your spirituality. Or if it doesn't do that, it'll create a defect in you. وَرَاعِهَا وَهِيَ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ سَائِمَةً وَإِنْ هِيَ اسْتَحْلَتِ الْمَرْعَى فَلَا تُسِمِي. He gives an example of an animal that is grazing. The shepherd have to guard his flock. So guard your nafs whilst it is grazing. Our nafs is like an animal, it is grazing. And when you see the nafs is enjoying it too much, then don't let it graze anymore. Because from that enjoyment it will go to another enjoyment, and then it is an unending limit of enjoyments. كَبْحَسَّنَتْ لَزَّةً لِلْمَرْءِ قَاتِلَةً مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَدْرِي أَنَّ السُّمَّ فِي الدَّسَمِ. He says that how often the nafs, it shows us something that is very deadly. It'll purify something very deadly. And it is just like how poison is put in fat and you don't even know about it. وَشَدَّ سَائِسَ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَمِنْ شَبِعِي فَرُبَّ مَخْمَسَةٍ شَرٌّ مِنَ التُّخَمِي. Be careful of two tricks of the nafs. Hunger and being satiated. Sometimes hunger may be good, but the nafs will tell you not eat. Or sometimes the eating may be good, the nafs will tell you no, stay hungry. Be careful. Wakshad dasa'is. These are the tricks of the shaitan. And he says that sometimes for a person to be hungry, it is actually worse than indigestion. وَخَالِفِ النَّفْسَ وَالشَّيْطَانَ وَعَسِهِمَا. Allama Busairi gives advice now, and he says that go against the nafs and go against the shaitan. It's in us. It's not that we cannot do it. We know what is right, we know what is that, wrong. And Allah has put that natural understanding in us that this is right, this is wrong. So go against the nafs, go against the shaitan. وَإِنْهُمَا مَحَذَاكَ النُّسُّ فَاتَّهِمِي. When your nafs has to give you sincere advice, sometimes from within yourself, you feel, no, I must do it. It's like a sincere advice. Suspect the advice of your nafs. Suspect the advice of your nafs. فَلَا تُطْعِ مِنْهُمَا خَصْمًا وَلَا حَكَمًا. Never ever follow the nafs. Whether the nafs present itself as a disputant, or whether the nafs present itself as a judge. Sometimes the disputant also got his tricks. Judges also got their tricks. فَأَنْتَ تَعْرِفُ كَيْدَ الْخَصْمِ وَالْحَكَمِ. That you know the trick of the disputant, because we see this in court cases, how things play out, the how a disputant, how he presents his cases and he tries to mislead the judge. And sometimes, like the present situation of the corruption in the judiciary, we see, فَأَنْتَ تَعْرِفُ كَيْدَ الْخَصْمِ وَالْحَكَمِ. From this we understand, Allama Busairi tells to us, the only way that we want to control our nafs, the only way for discipline, the only way for spiritual upliftment, go against your nafs and go against your desire. Never ever give in. Your nafs desires something, don't feed it. And a beautiful example of it is in the Quran Kareem. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us about a kalbe muallam. A dog for hunting purposes. We know from all the animals, the most greediest animal is a dog. Other animals will probably just eat the flesh. The dog will eat the flesh and the bone. And from all the creatures, the most greediest is a fly. It'll sit anywhere. And the most content of all creatures is a spider. The spider remains within its web. And because of the contentment of the spider, Allah has made the fly inside the net of the spider the food for the spider. So, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gives us this example of kalbe muallam. Most greediest. It's got a lot of hirs in it. But if you want to use that dog for hunting purposes, you train it. Dispatch it to go and attack a prey. And when it eats from it, you're not supposed to eat. The work was only supposed to hunt, not to eat of it. If it ate of it, ate the flesh, not the blood. If you ate the flesh, then you hit it. The dog then comes to a realization that I got that hiding because I ate something that I'm not supposed to eat. You carry on doing it until the dog comes to a realization. Three times it comes to know. You see, we dispatched it, and for three times it only probably never attacked the animal, or maybe it took the blood, but not the flesh. Now it is a trained dog. It got the greatest amount of hirs, but now it controls its hirs. And it is because of that, the dog now that got the greatest amount of hirs, greatest amount of desire, greatest amount of greed, now Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala elevated that dog, where now you can use that dog to hunt other animals and make other animals halal. When a dog can be controlled, can't our nafs be controlled? Surely we can also be controlled. We need to liberate our nafs. We need to liberate our nafs. Our nafs, when it is in a cage of its nafs and its desires, then you'll never enjoy a life of peace and happiness. Never ever. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi gives one very beautiful example. He says one king, he was traveling abroad, and he asked all his courtiers in the palace that, I'm going abroad, is there anything that you people want from there that I could bring for y'all? He had a bird in a cage, and he asked this bird, told the bird, that I'm also traveling abroad. Is there anything that you want from abroad? So the bird told to the king, no, I don't want nothing, but only one request. Wherever you're going, when you see the birds of that place, they convey them my salam. You'll see another bird like me in the cage, convey my salam. So the king went, he abroad, he saw one bird in the cage, and he told to the bird in the cage, that I've got a message for you. I also got a bird in a cage. And that bird in the cage has asked me to convey salam to you. No sooner the king conveyed the salam of his bird to this bird died in the cage. The king thought to himself, what wrong have I done? Merely conveying a salam and it would cause the bird to die. So, they opened the cage, they took out the bird. And the bird then flew out. It went away. He came back and he conveyed this message to his bird. And then, that this bird, his bird also died. He thought to himself, is this the crime of conveying salam? You convey salam, the bird dies. He took out the bird also from the cage. And the moment he took out the bird from the cage or opened the cage, the bird flew out. The king then asked the bird from the treetop, what is all this? Explain to me the reality of this. What is happening? I conveyed the salam, that bird died and he flew out. I conveyed the salam to you, you died and then you flew out. He said, that bird in India gave me a lesson. That if you want to free yourself from this cage, conduct yourself as though you are dead, you will come out. You'll be free, you'll be liberated. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi presents this example. He says that we are locked up in the cage of our nafs. We are locked up in the cage of our nafs. We are not enjoying life. We are not getting closer to Allah. There's no way for us to connect and bond to Allah whilst we are feeding our nafs and our desires. The only way for us to do that is for us to liberate ourselves from the cage of our nafs. Then you'll fly freely in the love and the muhabbat of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is not difficult to do. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to three type of nafs in the Quran Kareem. Nafs ammara. Very demanding, very demanding. But one way to overcome it, condemn. And if every time you do wrong, then say to yourself, no, it is wrong. I'm not supposed to do it. From nafs ammara, you come to a point of nafs lawwama. La uqsimu biyawm al-qiyama, wa la uqsimu bin nafs lawwama. And the moment you start approaching your nafs, you're condemning your nafs. You know that I'm done wrong. In the field of spirituality, you want to go up, you must never justify your wrong. Don't do a wrong and justify your wrong. Say to yourself, yes, I'm wrong. I should not have done it. The moment you admit and you're wrong, that is the way for you, that is the ladder for you to climb spirituality. And when you keep on condemning yourself, keep on condemning yourself, and also making dua to Allah to help you and assist you against your nafs, a time will come, you'll get nafs mutma'inna, ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. You'll get sukoon, you'll get peace in you. It is not impossible, it is very, very possible. All we need to do is mujahada. Mujahada. Fight the nafs. What your nafs want, don't give in to it. You got to make mujahada. Then with that mujahada, then you will excel. And before concluding, let me just give you another anecdote. There was once a debate between water and oil. We saw when water and oil is together, then oil is always on top of the water, it is dominating. There is also some scientific reason for that, but this is just an anecdote. So water complained to the oil, you have no shame in you? Whenever we are together, you're dominating me? Don't you consider who I am and what I am? I have come from the skies. وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. I have come from the skies. I am tahir and mutahir. I am pure and I purify. Don't you understand? I remove dirt. I clean everybody. Consider my status and you should let me dominate you. The oil then told to the water, what you are saying is 100% true and correct. I recognize your position. Indeed, you have come up from the skies. You are pure. You are a purifier. Everything shines because of you. But did you consider my qurbani? Did you consider my sacrifices? I was a seed. I was buried underground. People were walking on to me and they were trampling upon me. I had to germinate underground. And then I had to force my way from under the ground, tear myself up and come above the ground. I was a very, very delicate stem. I had to bear all weathers. The heat of summer, the cold of winter, the frost of winter, the torrential rains, I had to bear everything. I weathered all conditions until when I became mature. The farmer now came with his sickle and he cut me off. He took my grain, he crushed it, and he took the oil out of me. Oh water, what sacrifice did you make? What qurbani did you make? Look at my qurbani, look at my sacrifices. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi presents this example and he says, the only way for the nafs to excel is for the person to go against the nafs and make mujahada against the nafs. There's no second solution to that. Only way, go against the nafs, go against the desire. You feel like taking that cigarette, say haram, I don't want it. You feel like opening that pornographic site, just say haram, I don't want it. It's going to lead me deeper and deeper and deeper into it. You enjoying ghibat and backbiting, say it is haram, I don't want it. It's going to take me more deeper into the waters. And this is not difficult to do. We do it. A person is a sugar patient. Let him offer him some Ferrero chocolate. Or offer him some nice chocolate. It looks so appealing, he's going to stay away from it because he knows what's the consequence of it. His head is going to become heavy. How he exercises the taqwa? He knows the consequences of what the chocolate is going to do to it. Same with all the chocolate of sins. All the sins are different chocolates. Very harmful, very detrimental. Or ask a pressure patient. He'll eat mild food. You know, put the salt there. He'd love that salt. He wants the food to be tasty. But he'd tolerate that mild food without that salt. Give him that extra salt and see what happens. He'll ask for some pressure tablet. How we exercise taqwa there? Your nafs wants that salt. Your nafs wants that sugar. The same, the nafs wants all the sweet things and wants all the other bitter things as well to enjoy itself. Just as we exercise precaution and restraint against sugar, we exercise restraint against salt, let us exercise restraint from all forms of guna. May Allah Tabarak grant us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.